Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Mother Days podcast. I am Sarah Wright Olson.
And I'm Teresa Palmer. Hello.
I was just telling Teresa how sick we've all been for the past month. It's been crazy in our house. We went from hand, foot, mouth, which I just like to call hand, hoof, mouth, because it's just so ridiculous. And then we went from that to everybody kind of getting this like cold that no one would get infected with it until like 7 days later. So it'd be like one of us and then another person, and another person. So then we all ended up trickling down and getting it. And it was such an insane cold. I had to take everybody to get a respiratory panel to figure out what it was. And it's called parainfluenza, in case you're wondering. I was blocked from like the nose, where the nose and the throat meet, all the way up. So like no air could go up. So it's just like a bubble was happening. Every time I would try to like swallow, it was like it felt like somebody put foam back there. It was like blocked off. And I was like, this is horrible. I can't breathe. I can't breathe at night.
Your voice was very sexy though.
It was very sexy.
We had a couple of sexy episodes.
That's right.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, everyone. I was so sick.
Sarah. Awesome. Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Then this beautiful thing happens where Esme got the stomach flu and she got it. I took care of her. Eric and I had to switch off. So I did the first half of the night and then Winter was waking up. So then he took the second half of the night. And then I was like, okay, we're in the clear. It'd been 6 days. And then an hour apart, Wyatt and I went down hard. And I was trying to explain to Eric that when you have the stomach flu versus just being like sick to your stomach from like eating something, it's like your body tells your brain, prepare, you're going down. This is going to be the worst day of your life. It's literally like, you know, it's coming. Everything hurts. Like everything inside your tummy hurts, but you haven't thrown up yet. Right. So it's just like, everything hurts. I'm like laying on the floor of the bathroom. I'm going poo. I'm throwing up. Like it's all happening at the same time. And Eric had to run and grab Wyatt from school. So he's not even home yet. He is running, grabbing from school. And while he's gone, Esme FaceTimes him crying. She's like, she's still on the floor. Oh. And I can't move. And she's like, is she going to die? And Eric's like, she's not going to die. She's fine. Like, she's just sick, you know? She's throwing up. And I'm literally laying there like shivering and like naked.
Oh my gosh.
And then Wyatt comes home and he's like, I don't feel great. And it's like the movie Bridesmaids where they're just like finding any place to go throw up. And we were everywhere.
Bodily fluids all over the place.
Everywhere. And Eric had to take care of us, poor thing.
So did it last 2 days?
So the throwing up and all of that lasted 12 hours. Wyatt was throwing up like every 15 minutes for 12 hours. And I actually took a medication, like a anti-nausea. Yeah. Because Winter wanted to nurse. And so I was like, I don't know what to do. I always sleep with her. So I ended up like staying up all night, and then I just nursed her and, you know, tried to stay hydrated.
And did she get, she didn't get it.
And knock on wood, I mean, it's been 8 days. She didn't get it. I don't know how she didn't get it.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, I was nursing her like crazy and then just washing my hands constantly, but it was so nuts. So nuts. Everyone has said that the stomach flu is like the worst thing ever this year. And I am here to tell you that that's true. So try not to get it.
That is true. I remember being in, I was 20 weeks pregnant when this was happening to Sarah. I was like, oh my gosh, that reminds me of the time this happened to me. I was 20 weeks pregnant with Poet. And I remember I was sitting in the like lounge at the airport, and I had to go to New York for some work thing. And I'm sitting down and my stomach's just started getting these little cramps. I'm like, oh, what's that? Oh, okay, it must just be the baby. Like, hope everything's okay, blah, blah, blah. And then Zoe Saldana sits down opposite me and she was like, hey, girl. I was like, oh, my God, hi. I hadn't seen her in ages, like talking about her kids, and I was talking about the baby, and we were just, you know, conversing or whatever. And we happened to be on the same plane to New York. So we get to New York and I get off the plane and, you know, I say goodbye to Zoe and I head to get my bags. And then I couldn't find my driver. I was like, I don't know where the driver is. Where is the driver? And then Zoe's like, jump in my car with me. Like, my driver will drop you off at your hotel. Don't worry about it. Like, come on, jump in. Like, I insist. I was like, no, I'll grab a cab. She's like, get in the car. Come on. You're pregnant. Like, I'm not leaving you out here. Come on. So I jump in the car and then we're just chatting in the back seat. And then it just hits me, this feeling. Oh, yeah. And I was like, and I just felt like, and I'm like, oh, God. Oh, this doesn't have anything to do with the baby. Like, this is, I'm about to poo my pants in the car, in Zoe's car, in the back of her little black limo right now. And I'm trying so hard just to like keep up with the conversation. I'm like, yeah,
and you're sweating.
God. Sweating.
Oh my God. Sweating.
Goosebumps. You know when the goosebumps face. Come? Oh. Like,
the goosebumps.
I'm like, it's bad. Squeezing my butt cheeks together so tight, being like, please don't diarrhea in the back seat right now. Please don't diarrhea in the back seat.
It's mortifying. And the baby's pushing all the stuff too.
I'm like, oh my God. And then the driver like finally like pulls up to Zoe's hotel and she's like, bye girl. I have just gone like white. I'm like, bye. Really trying so hard just to play it cool as though nothing was going down. I didn't really want to allude to the fact that like I had a tummy ache or anything. I also didn't want to freak her out and be like, I have some really weird contagious like stomach flu.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, anyway, have a great night. Thank you so much. Like she gets out of the car, shuts the door, and I say to the driver, leg it. Do whatever you could do to get me there. I need to be there in 1 minute. Like I am going to poo everywhere. And the guy's like, right. He like steps on it, zooms, cutting through all this traffic, like beeping. Thank God it's New York, so that's so normal. Like beeping at cars, like get out of the way. Like,
oh my God.
Pulls me up. I waddled out so fast, ran up to the front desk. I was like, I do not have time to check in. You need to give me a key right now. I swear to God, I'll check in as soon as I get back. Like I am about to shit everywhere. And then the woman's like, oh my God.
I'm sorry. Did you actually say that?
Yes to the woman. I looked her in the eye with like tears. Like it was so direct. So like, I was like, please get me up there. And she was like, all right. She grabbed me. We like went in the elevator. We went up there. She opened the door. She was like, go for it. And I remember having to choose. I was like, which end is going on the toilet? Am I putting my head in the toilet? Am I putting my butt in the toilet? And so I ended up choosing butt. So I was like, pfft, like all over the toilet seat, like an absolute massacre, but like exorcist spewing out the front at the same time, like from both ends. It was so wild. And then I was just, I was pregnant. So I was like, I hope the baby's okay because there's so much going out.
So you had food poisoning?
So it was either food poisoning or stomach flu, but I had to shoot the next morning and I got no sleep because I was up puking and vomiting and I had this photo, I think it was for artistry, the photo shoot. And I told my manager the next day, I was like, oh, I almost didn't make it to this photo shoot. You have no idea what my last night has been like. I mean, I've slept about 2 hours and I'm covered in the most foul,
like disturbing bodily fluids. Oh my God.
That actually is insane. And insane that you were pregnant at the same time. And I had a similar thing happen the night before I went to shoot this scene. So in American Made, you know the scene where Tom and I are in the airplane and
you're shebanging.
And we're shebanging in the airplane, right?
Tom Cruise, by the way. Tom Cruise we're talking about, guys.
And so the night before that scene, I went to dinner with my friend Kim, who's the producer on the film, and I had to leave dinner. We were having like a goodbye dinner because the next day we were shooting the stunt where the thing actually – so the, like half of an airplane is on this thing called a gimbal. Mm-hmm. And we get inside and they strap us to each other and to the airplane and like all this stuff. And the cameras are like – on the sides of the airplane, and the airplane goes around like a washing machine. You ride around it, around and around and around. So we're gonna shoot that stunt. That stunt. The next day, the next morning, I think that we had some shooting to do in the morning, and so then it was gonna happen around like noon. So I was supposed to be at work at 9 a.m. So I'm at dinner with Kim, and I look at Kim, and I'm like, I'm going to be sick. I can feel that I'm about to get sick. I was like, what happened? And so I race home. And from that moment, all night long, I was on the toilet all night long.
No.
So sick. So sick. I'm like, how am I shooting this stunt tomorrow? Because I don't even know how – I can't keep a sip of water down. And the next morning, I took some Imodium or something.
Yes, Imodium. I would pound that back.
Yeah. And I was like drinking tons of water and I got coconut water and all this stuff. Pulled myself together and went to set. And Kim was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. I didn't sleep 1 minute. I was sick all night long. This is our last day. And I know they're going to be concerned. And I don't want anybody to worry. I'm going to be fine. I go in to shoot the stunt in the afternoon and I was like, yeah, I'm totally fine. They do the one washing machine around and I didn't feel sick or anything and then shot that whole scene and boom, we were done with the movie.
Oh, it was crazy. My God.
Yes, it was nuts.
You are insane. It reminds me when you were telling this, I was like, oh, here we go. These are now we're getting into some like funny film, like the way films are made.
I know.
So that gimbal was so funny because on A Discovery of Witches, so any A Discovery of Witches fans who are listening right now, you will know this scene. There's this moment in the first season of A Discovery of Witches. Sarah, you've actually seen this as well.
Oh, no, I know.
It's the moment where Diana and Satu are like in this big battle and Satu flips me upside down and she like opens up my back.
Oh, yeah.
So we were shooting that scene, same thing, last scene of the season. And we had gone out, we had had this sort of impromptu cast and crew rap party that I hosted at my little place. And we were like, oh, it's fine. Like the next day, just a couple of stunt things. And then we're going, you know, I'm flying back to LA. And I was like, let's have a rap party. So my kids were asleep on the top floor. And the girl, Kate, who I had nannying, she was up there and sort of shut. It was almost like two separate apartments. So she was up there looking after kids. And then I was like, I'll have the crew over downstairs and we'll have this wrap party. We went so hard until like 3 a.m. I drank so many champagnes and I was like, woo, oh, no. I was on the dance floor. I was feeling it with all my friends. Like, woo. It was the most fun wrap party. And then, of course, I was looking at the time. I'm like, oh my God, my pickup's at like 7 a.m. What am I doing? I got picked up at 7 a.m. the next morning. I've never felt more hungover in my entire life. I'm also like pumping and dumping and trying to breastfeed. I'm like, what was I thinking? It was such a hard first season that I just like let loose. And because I'm not a very big drinker, my body just reacted to it so badly. And then the whole day I am upside down, being rigged upside down, like having to like scream and be like, like feel as though I'm being tortured by this other witch. Yeah. And me and Marlon, who plays Satu,
you probably look tortured. I mean, you did, but
I look horrendous because I've had no sleep. I feel sick. I puked 3 times that day. I would just go to the toilet and I would puke. But lots of the crew were also hungover. So everyone was like, oh no, how is Teresa doing this? I didn't realize I would be upside down. I was like, oh, I just have to scream a little bit. It was probably the worst day of shooting I've ever had in my entire life, but it was all my own fault. I was like, this is my own fault. And so I just lent into the discomfort of it because I was like, do you know what? This is a good lesson. Like, this is a good lesson for me. Like, if it's going to be someone who doesn't drink a lot of alcohol and then you're like, woo, you're going to go hard one night, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So there we go.
And we're also like at the, I mean, I'm looping you in with me, even though we're not exactly the same age, but we're older. When you're in your 20s, it's different. Like, and by the way, I don't think we're old by any means. Like, late 30s is whatever. It's like young and fabulous. But just saying that, like, it definitely feels different when you're drinking in your 20s and you get up and you like eat a cheeseburger for breakfast and then you go about your day. You know, it's like, I had a little bit of a headache.
You could pull all nighters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I think new parents talk about the like fatigue, because we used to be able to pull all-nighters and go out and party when we were younger. And then you become a parent and you're pulling an all-nighter, but not out of choice, because like you're up breastfeeding a baby and you keep waking up to them and you're like making sure they're okay and you're comforting them. But you feel wrecked because you're just having all of these all-nighters and you're like, wait, my body can't handle this anymore.
Yeah, I definitely my friends and I used to like stop at CVS as the sun was coming up in the morning when we lived in Chicago, and we'd go to the freezer section all giggling, and we'd get pizza rolls, and we'd like pull a bottle of ranch dressing off of the shelf, and we'd like go throw the pizza rolls in and eat ranch dressing.
Oh,
and like
my God.
that was our like after party at our apartment.
It was like the grease.
Yes.
The grease like sucks up all the alcohol. I used to go and get McDonald's whenever I was hungover.
And by the way, I'm like highly allergic to most of the things that are in all of that.
But you didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, I had no idea. So it's like, if I did feel hungover, it was probably from the food that I ate.
Oh my God.
It's just like so bad. Anyway.
Oh my God. What a nightmare. Oh.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering, and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/motherdays.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
So this episode, we are going to be talking about the holidays, holiday fails, crazy holiday experiences that Sarah and I have had, wacky presents we've bought people, just holiday tales. And we have a funny bunch of them to talk about. And in fact, some people wrote in and gave us their holiday tales as well. So good. Sarah, do you want to kick it off with the story that you wanted to share?
Yeah. So Eric and I, when we first started dating, I was like, gosh, I don't know what to get Eric for Christmas, you know? And we were planning a trip. I think we'd only been dating, we'd known each other for a year and a half, but we were had only been dating for like a few months officially. So I was actually going to go meet his dad for the first time in Chicago. And I was surprising him with tickets to the Chicago Bears Packers football game that was going to happen on New Year's Eve, I think it was, or New Year's Day. So I was really pumped to like fly up from Kentucky, go meet his dad, and then surprise him with these tickets that, that was like one of his, you know, favorite teams or whatever. So I actually, it's obviously those tickets are really expensive and I was trying to find them online and I found them, where I found a lot of things, which was like, I feel like I found them on Craigslist or something like that, where people were like selling tickets. So and by the way, I'm just going to put in here, I was 23 at the time and pretty new to using the internet for things. So I went to transfer money to pay for the tickets and then crickets. I never heard from the person. I spent, I feel like $800 on these tickets. Yeah, which was like a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money, but for me, even at that time, I think like it kind of wiped me out financially.
And oh no.
I was really excited because this whole trip was coming together because I was like, oh, I'm in Kentucky. I'll meet you in Chicago. Let's like stay at a hotel and we'll just have like a cute little, you know, New Year's together in this hotel in Chicago. And I love Chicago because I used to live there. And so everything was coming together for me to surprise him with these tickets. And then it was, I got scammed. It was so
what a bummer.
Bad.
Did you tell
I know.
Him?
Of course. I told him fully crying. Oh. I was like, I put this whole thing together. So actually what ended up happening is I don't know if he was working for CBS or Fox or who it was at the time, but he reached out to somebody and he surprised me that he got tickets. And then we went to the game that we're supposed to go to, because I love football. And so the game that we're supposed to go to, we actually ended up still going because he ended up surprising me with the thing that I was supposed to surprise him with.
Oh my God. Actually, that has such a nice happy ending.
I know. Well, it's nice that it worked out, but it sucked that I got scammed.
What is wrong with people?
I know. Oh. I learned such a lot, and I'm so gullible.
I saw Sarah.
Oh my gosh. I was like, oh yeah, this seems normal, like for people to go and wire money to some random person before you get the tickets.
Oh my goodness.
It was just so not smart on my part.
I had someone like racking up on my credit card recently because I got this bill sent to my phone via text. And I'm like one of those people who gets anxiety if I haven't paid bills.
Same, so do I.
I've got to have everything paid. Like if I ever borrow money, like for dinner even, I'm like, I Venmo within 30 seconds. Like I'm that sort of person. So I'm like, oh my God, there's an outstanding toll bill. I need to pay it. Like, of course, put all my credit card details in. Someone's like, woohoo, holiday credit card. Yay. They like went to Walmart, spent like $10,000 here, $8,000 there. Like quickly my bank shut it down. But still, it was because I was like, oh, cool. I'll just put in all my credit card details and pay for this toll that I drove through at some point in Melbourne a few months ago. It actually seemed legitimate. And I had got other bills for the same thing. So I think that's what these scammers do.
I know.
They're like, what are their habits? And then we'll just recreate the habit.
It's the worst.
All right. So I have a pretty crazy holiday fail. It's unbelievable how this story turned out. It was in 2019. It was that Christmas. So poet would, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. 2019 Christmas. So I had been shooting A Discovery of Witches, and that was based in Wales. And it was a really, you know, hard season. I was in, it was the second season. So I was wearing all the Elizabethan gowns, and it was just like, there were so many more episodes this season. I think there were 10 episodes. And there was just a lot to do and so much work, and I poured my heart into it. So we were really excited about, you get 2.5 weeks off of filming until we had to return back to film about 3 weeks left of season two. So I was like, all right, cool. I got this. Like I'm going to wrap up the show. And I think we wrapped on the 21st of December and we were flying out the 22nd of December back to LA.
Oh my gosh.
So my kids had written out their Christmas lists and, we obviously Santa was getting a lot of those presents and, Santa obviously assumed that we were having Christmas back at our home in LA. So, presents were sent or being made in the North Pole, obviously, but they were going to be in LA. So everything was sort of in LA, ready for us to land there. We get to the airport and we have packed up the last 6 months of our life because we thought, you know what, we're going back to LA now. Let's bring all of our stuff now and then pack a small suitcase to come back for the 3 weeks in Wales. So we'll just bring everything back. So we had the amount of luggage that you can imagine a large family having. We had 4 kids. Isaac had been coming back and forth visiting us. We had Poet was a baby. My mum, there was just a whole bunch of us. And I think we probably had 11 suitcases total and just so much stuff. So we get to the airport. We go to check in. We're already running a little bit late for the flight. And we get there and we're all excited. We're playing Christmas carols. And the woman says, hey, have you booked your ESTA? For people who don't know, an ESTA is the travel visa to get into America. And sometimes these take 48 hours to be approved. But if you had forgotten, you could quickly do it online and it would be approved within 15 minutes. So I was like, oh my God, my ESTA's expired. I had no idea. And it had just expired by about 2 days. And she was like, oh, no, it's actually not valid. So we're going to need you to get an ESTA. And I was like, oh, my God, what a major oversight. Whoops. Okay, I'll just apply for it over to the side and I'll wait 15 minutes until it goes through. So we get everyone checked in who can get checked in. I'm off to the side filling out these forms and just sitting there waiting. And so Mark's looking at the clock and he's like, we're going to miss this flight. We're going to miss this flight. Like, we're going to miss Christmas. And then the woman was like, yeah, unfortunately, the next flights are fully booked out before Christmas. So the 23rd and the 24th, you will not be able to get to America. Like tonight's the only flight you can get on to get back.
Oh my God.
And at this point, we haven't seen Isaac. He had gone back to school. So he was like so excited. He was seeing his brothers and sisters. We were all having Christmas together. We had this big plan. And these Esters were not coming through. I kept refreshing and refreshing and looking at the clock. And then my husband's like, we need to see someone. We need to see like the head of the airport. Like someone, please. Like, look, like I'm an American citizen and this is my wife and these are their birth certificates. And I, please just like, let us through, let us through. They're like, absolutely not. You cannot get through. Like, we'll keep refreshing the Esters. At this point, Mark is on the verge of tears. I'm like trying so hard to keep it together. The kids are sort of, we're like, have iPads. Like, just go sit on the suitcases and have iPads. It's now like 11 p.m. and the flight's taking off at 11:30. The woman's like, bag check's about to close, bag check's about to close. And I was like, oh my God. I start crying, but I'm like trying to hide my tears from the kids. I was like, please, like, you have no idea. Our Christmas presents are in LA. Like, this is going to ruin Christmas. Like, you have to let us on the plane. She was like, I'm sorry, I can't. Like, your husband can get on the plane and your child, Bodhi, which is the only one of our children who was born in America, he could get on the plane, but no one else could get on the plane. And then I was like, but then we'll be separated for Christmas. And so we quickly made the decision, all right, we're going to miss this flight. We're going to miss the flight. We're going to try somehow to get to America, even if we have to fly through some random country to get back into America. So we end up booking last minute some airport hotel, like right near, we're at Heathrow. And, you know, to get to Heathrow from Wales anyway is a 3-hour drive. So we've driven 3 hours to get there. All the kids excited for Christmas. And then all of a sudden being like, hey, kids, we're staying in this airport hotel. And so we go with our 11 suitcases in this tiny, janky little hotel. And we are like, we put the kids to sleep at midnight. Everyone's crying. Everyone's freaking out. I'm on the phone with travel agents back in America being like, please help us. We've got to figure it out. And then someone drops the bombshell that, hey, just so you know, Esther's, because of like the amount of travel right now, Esters aren't actually being approved for a few weeks. So you're not going to have an Ester approved in time to get back to LA for Christmas. So we were like, what do we do? Everything's in LA. Isaac's in LA. He's young, too young at this point to travel on his own. So we made the decision. It was 1 a.m. Mark and I were in a foul fight with each other. We're just so angry at each other. My mum's like in the room on this trundle bed with her sleep apnea machine. It's like so loud. She's like snoring and sleeping off to the side. The kids are asleep, like all sharing a bed. I'm like sobbing. Mark's crying. We're yelling at each other. We're like unpacking and repacking all these suitcases. We're climbing over these cases. I'm trying to like figure out what we're going to do. And then finally we're like, all right, Mark, the logical thing to do is you fly to LA, you go get the present, you pick up the presents, you pick up Isaac, and then we need to meet somewhere. So we're like, oh my God, now we need to find a place where it's not too far away from America. So it's like, what's somewhere halfway that we can meet that we can definitely all travel to? So we ended up finding a hotel in the Bahamas.
We
could get on a flight and I could fly there on my own from Heathrow with my mom and our three kids to get to the Bahamas, and Mark would fly to LA, pick up Isaac on the 24th of December, grab all of the Christmas presents, stuff them in his bag, and then fly back and meet us in the Bahamas. So that was the plan. We ended up doing that. Mark had to, and by the way, there were a lot of presents. There were lots of presents, obviously. Like Santa was still going to bring presents. And we kept telling the kids, Santa knows that we are going to be in the Bahamas. Like Santa knows. Don't worry. Like the presents definitely won't be sent to LA or dropped off in LA. Like he's going to know. We'll just let him know. Like, hey, plans have changed. We're going to be like in a hotel room in the Bahamas. So Bodhi was so most upset about that. And they're excited to meet Santa and have the photos with Santa. So we ended up like arriving to the Bahamas. I'm sweaty, stressed, haven't slept at all. I am wrangling all these suitcases on my own. So we've got to take all the 11 suitcases to the Bahamas.
No.
Luckily, the production came and like picked up, but everyone had shut down for the holiday. So I like had left 2 suitcases at Heathrow for someone to pick up for me, thank God. But still, I had all these suitcases with us. We get there, we arrive at the Bahamas and then we get through customs after lining up for an hour. And they're like, you don't have a return flight booked. You can't get into the Bahamas. I was like, oh my God. So I'm off to the side. We've got no reception. I'm like trying to book a return flight. He's like, you can go off to the side and book a return flight, but we're not letting you into the Bahamas until you've done that. So it was just an oversight by the travel agent.
Oh.
So, yeah. Oh my God. I know. And the kids are crying and they're over iPad at this point. And Power is just breastfeeding and my mom like is so tired and doesn't really know how to help out. And I'm just there on my own trying to book all these flights for us to get back. Meanwhile, like we had already spent so much of the money that I had earned on A Discovery of Witches on like our mortgages and living expenses and flights and last minute travel things that like I was looking at our bank account and I'm like, we're going to wipe ourselves down to zero in the Bahamas. God. Like this is because the only place available was this all-inclusive hotel. And it was I was single-handedly paying for like Mark and I and Isaac and my mom and three kids all-inclusive at this hotel where it was so expensive per night. It was so last minute. Every time the kids like let's get this or let's buy this or let's have this experience, I felt so guilty that we weren't in LA that I was like, okay, we'll go like feed the pigs on the beach and we will meet them and we do. And I was just like seeing the bank account like going down and going down.
Oh, that is so stressful.
It was so stressful. I was trying to be all cheery and like, woo, Christmas, but I was so financially stressed out as well. I remember sitting on a bathroom floor, bawling my eyes out, just being like, this is too, and the hotel was beautiful, but it's not like we were staying in like some out of control place that we just absolutely can't afford. It was like a really decent hotel, but because it was all inclusive, it ended up getting really expensive because there were only some things that were inclusive, but we're a vegan family. So we had to like go source out the vegan restaurants and then go. And by the end of it, we had maxed out like all our credit cards.
Oh my God.
Like eaten through so much of our savings. And I was a stress ball. The kids wanted to go and like have pictures with Santa. So I went to a random Bahamas mall and found this Bahamian Santa dressed up with like one of those springy
beards.
And at the time, my kids didn't understand that Santa's like helpers actually would go and like dress up as Santa around the world. So sometimes it's the real Santa. This is what I've been told anyway, that sometimes it's the real Santa at these malls, but sometimes it's just like Santa's friends who are dressing up as Santa. And you can sort of tell. And we think that we've met the real Santa at those meet and greets a few times, but then my kids were like, this doesn't seem like the real Santa. And his beard was hanging off on his chin. So then the kids were like very upset because they're like, this doesn't look like Santa. His beard's falling off.
Oh my God.
He was like, the gloves weren't on properly. They could see his hands.
Oh my God.
And they were like, is this the real Santa? Is this not the real Santa? Like, so then there were lots of questions about like Santa and Santa's friends and people who dress up about Santa and, you know, then we had this janky little Christmas tree that we bought, like a plastic Christmas tree, and we had to buy Christmas decorations. Anyway, as you can imagine, it was not the most ideal Christmas. However, the happy ending to the story is that the kids woke up. Santa did come. He actually must have climbed through. We're on like the 17th story, climbed through the balcony to get there. And all the stockings were laid out and there was footprints of Santa like on the carpet.
Oh my gosh.
And then the presents were all there and they were wrapped and Santa brought all his amazing wrapping. And I was just like, you know what? This ended up working out well. And we had such a memorable trip in the Bahamas. We have the best photos. We have the best video from Christmas morning.
Oh, I remember the pictures. I remember the pictures of the little Christmas tree in your hotel room and all the presents. And then you sent me videos of you walking through the mall.
the mall
in the Bahamas. Yeah.
In the Bahamas.
And
that's
you were
right.
Like, this is, because I don't remember, I feel like we were writing our book at the same time.
Yes,
or something.
We were.
There was like something happening because I remember this trip and experience so vividly in my brain because we were supposed to be together. We were all going
to
be together.
We were meant to be together.
Yeah, in LA over Christmas. So we were going to get together. And then this happened.
And we weren't allowed in the country.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That was a major, major, major fail by me, by the way. Me and my husband. We are usually good with our travel documents, but whatever, I guess because it was so busy and filming and everything, we just didn't have everything perfectly like worked out. And the kids ended up having, they even say to this day, like, how fun was that Christmas in the Bahamas? It was so fun. And we've since had a Christmas in Fiji, which was our last Christmas, and it was amazing. So destination Christmases have been incredible.
Yeah, they can be really nice too.
You have to be really organized, and you obviously have to let Santa know that you're going to be there. And it can be stressful, but I think like if you're super, super, super organized, like they actually end up being amazing. But this year we're excited. We're finally in LA. We haven't been in LA for Christmas for so long, and we're at our brand new home, which just like it's a home that like reeks of the holidays. It just looks like a holiday home, like where you have Christmas, and we got the Christmas lights all out the front and the tree, and we got to have a really big tree this year. And we are so excited just to have a nice, calm, at-home Christmas. So, that was my wild story.
That is – it's so crazy because the holidays, I feel like, are so – they make so many big feelings come up, right? It's like you're feeling stressed. Like even yesterday, like I had so much to get done yesterday, and the kids had two festivals at school and a party and at their school, and you know, it was the last day of school, and there's just like so many things to do on top of that. Plus I was trying to wrap up work stuff, and it can become really, really stressful. And then you know, you also have to think about like the fact that there's a lot of people who are missing family over the holidays as well. It's like if you don't get to see your family, or if you've lost someone, like it brings up those big feelings. It can be so stressful, and it's so cool to hear a story as absolutely insane as the one that you just told. And yet at the end of the day, I was sitting here listening to you and I was thinking in my head, like, with all the fighting and the chaos and the 11 suitcases and like your mom's apnea machine and like everything that was going on. I mean, if you really looked around in that moment, like everything that you needed besides Isaac, who we really needed to go get, and that was probably the one logistical stressor that made it so hard.
We needed it 100%.
Is that you needed to get one person from point A to point B and then to point C so that you guys could all be together. But, you know, that somehow it all ended up working out and it all ended up being amazing and you all got to be together. And that's kind of it. It's like when you get to be with the people that you love.
It's so true.
That is so special and it can be so special.
It's time spent, which is so funny because that is my love language, is time spent.
I know, me too.
That's all I want, time spent.
I like time spent. I like occasional, like, coming over and give me a hug without asking for it.
Oh, yeah, is that affection? That's Mark.
Yeah, Mark's, I like affection. Time spent and a little, I just need like a sprinkle of affection. I don't need it all the time, but I just want like a sprinkle.
Yeah, Mark's like, all I need is that, like, just even touch my arm once. Like, just a light little tap on the arm would do me good.
Just blow me a kiss and in my direction.
I know. Sometimes he points out to me that sometimes, like, he'll come in for a hug and I'll be like, oh, okay. I'll hug and then I'll like, but it's always, he catches me right in the middle of like rushing to get the kids out the door for school or doing something.
Right.
And he was like, always this like little sigh that you do when I hug you. I was like, oh my God, do I? I'm so sorry. That is so subconscious. I'm going to try so hard not to do that. Because I do. I love hugging him, but he's right. I sometimes be like, I will take a half a second out to do this. Yes. Okay. Hug. There we go. Moving on. So
funny. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I love it.
What are you doing for the holidays?
We're going to Idaho. Oh,
I love that you do that.
I know. It's going to be so nice. We're driving up. The next episode that we'll be recording will be from Idaho, which will be so nice. But yeah, it's our favorite place, the mountains, to go and just get away. And it's so special. And I think the kids like are so into it because when we go there, we kind of just unplug and we, you know, go to the little town and everything just feels small and quaint. And we do a lot of time spent with family there. Mm-hmm. And so our kids are always like, oh, counting down to Idaho, you know, and it's like, aww, nice to get out of the madness of being in a city and, you know, all of that stuff. But I wanted to read, we have some holiday feels from our listeners. Thank you guys for sending them in. We really appreciate it. Okay, so Donna says, my holiday doozy was when I bought a personalized football jersey for my boyfriend. His last name is Patton, and it was spelled correct in the order, and I get it minutes before Christmas. I go to take it out of the box. The jersey is spelled Padin. Oh, no. By the way, this is totally something that would happen to me, Donna. I called the company for them to tell me that we can refund your money, but the jerseys would not be delivered until after Christmas. So I decided to get the refund. They said, once you receive the refund, please send the jersey back. And I said, no way. I'm going to keep this ridiculous jersey and you give me my money. So thankfully, that's what happened. I mean, a total disaster, but I won in the end. I want to know, does Patton still wear his Padin jersey?
So good.
That's really funny.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's so good.
All right. So here's another one from JB Wegeland. Christmas fail. We picked up a tree very late on Christmas Eve. It was wrapped in a net. We got I can see where this is going. Sorry. We got it home, cut off the net, put it upright, only to discover it had no top. The tree top had been cut off and all that was left was about 4 feet at the bottom. It looked like a huge pine tree salad bowl. A pine tree salad bowl. We put a little baby Jesus on the top of the stump and we all laughed very hard as a family.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
That is amazing.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, I have another one here. All right, so this person writes, tell us your holiday fails. All right then, a complicated holiday when your husband is hospitalized on vacation and you cannot deprive your children of their vacation. So you have to organize the days between beach and hospital. Oh, mama.
We had that same thing happen when Esme was in the hospital. It was like all the days leading up to Christmas. So Christmas was on Sunday, and it was the week before Christmas that we were in the hospital. And yes. Eric and Wyatt would come and visit us every day, but they were also sick, and they would bring us food. But then it was just like me and Esme, and we were just watching. She was 4 months old. So basically I was watching one Christmas movie after another that was like on ABC or whatever. You know how they have those like family movies? So I watched every single Hallmark, Lifetime, like ABC Family, all the Christmas movies, and laid in this hospital bed for 5 days. Oh, and then we got home the night before Christmas is when we got to come home, which was crazy. And
were you saying, I really want to be home for Christmas? Like, please let us out for Christmas if it's all good.
I wanted to, but I didn't say anything except for like, do you think? Like, how does she? So really, every day they were just checking her blood oxygen levels. So really, it was just like, once those levels were at the right place, we were able to go back home because she was able to get enough oxygen on the oxygen machine. So but yeah, it was nuts.
I have another really funny one here that someone said. So, hey girls, I love you in the Mother Days. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Italian and I live in a large family with one sister and 11 cousins. On Christmas Eve, we used to stay all together, the parents, the uncles, the cousins at my grandmother's house for a big dinner waiting for Christmas. Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does. I love that.
So sweet. When we were little, our parents decided to surprise us at midnight. So our older cousin dressed up as Santa Claus. And when he entered the house, he was so ugly.
the older guy. Yeah, because it obviously does not look like Santa Claus. No. Okay.
That it scared the shit out of us and we all started crying and screaming and running all over the house and hiding. That was such an epic fail Christmas. Oopsie. My gosh, that's so funny. Because I'm like, kids have an idea of what Santa looks like.
That's right. You can't like put an older cousin in a Santa Claus outfit. Like, it just feels like a stranger is coming to kidnap you. It's like, that does not feel good.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Allie Delph here wrote, "We drove 5 hours for a beach holiday to discover that I booked the wrong week 7 days too early." Yes, that is a fail.
That is an epic fail. Oh, my gosh. I want to know the rest of that story. What did she do?
Right? I know. She just kind of wrote – well, this was – people were just kind of writing on DMs. But I have to say, like, when I when every time I book a trip, I'm always so afraid that I'm going on the wrong day. Like, I probably checked the date 100 times. This is the same as me, like, plugging my curling iron in and having to go drive, turn around and drive back to the house to be like, did I unplug the curling iron? Right? Funny. I know. Or I'm like, oh, I left the oven on. And Eric's always like, eye roll. Okay, let's go back. You definitely didn't leave it on. And so when he and I were dating, I used to like do that all the time where I'd be like, I think I left the stove on. We have to go back. And he'd be like, seriously, Sarah, we were already 10 minutes from the house. And so he told me that I had to start walking around when I was leaving the house and clapping. So I'd be like, okay, oven's off, so that I could remember with the clap. The clap would like help my brain remember that I turned it off. Because it obviously, yeah. And so I started doing this thing where I would like turn off the lights and clap and like, you know, unplug my curling iron and clap. It didn't stay, but I felt so
I've got my method. Oh my gosh.
Because otherwise I just couldn't remember.
Do you know
that I had done it?
It was so funny. We were just talking about like, you know, I remember having so many amazing Christmases. We would always like go to my cousin's house and my grandparents are there and my pop would play the piano and we would all sing Christmas carols together, and my Nana and pop had 8 children, and so there were so many of us, so many cousins. And the tradition was your parent had to bring one present to put under the Christmas tree that they knew that their child really wanted. And so everyone would bring one present and you'd write like to Teresa, love from the whole family. And my mom was so funny because she would just bring me into a toy shop with her, be like, you can pick out your family Christmas present. And I'm like, okay, I want the Barbie doll with the waving baby in the pram. I want this. I want that one. I want this. And my mom, bless her heart, by the way, she was a pensioner on her pension, like did not have much money at all. We lived in government housing. She bought me all the things that I wanted, but we would actually go to my cousin's house and she, instead of putting one present under the Christmas tree for me, she like would put all of them under the tree. So it would be really awkward because people would be like, and this one's for so-and-so, and this one's for Teresa. This one's also for Teresa. This one's also for Teresa. And I was like, yay, yay. It looked like I was a spoiled little cousin who was getting 5 presents because my mom didn't realize that like she was only meant to contribute one present for me. So and then finally someone really explained it to mom, like, no, she can't be getting more presents than the rest of the cousins. Like, pick one present. You can keep the rest of the presents, but only one to be put under the Christmas tree.
Oh, my God.
I was always like, yay, I'm the cousin that gets the most presents from everyone.
Oh, yeah, that is – I mean, that's my nightmare, is the idea of somebody, like, you know.
One kid feeling like they've got more presents than the others.
This girl, Claire, writes, my dad gave my mom a new trash can, a motion-activated one with lights for Christmas, and she was not happy. By the way, for my parents' like wedding anniversary 1 year, I think it was maybe even when we were really little, but I heard about it for the like rest of our lives. My dad gave my mom a waffle iron, and she was like, no, that's not – That's not a gift you give for an anniversary. You're not giving me a waffle iron for our anniversary.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
I'm like, that's a horrible anniversary present. You can like slide that in for someone's Christmas if like as like a family gift if you want to make waffles together, but like you cannot make that an anniversary present.
Oh my gosh. I have someone I know. I'm not going to say who they are because I don't want them to give it away. But I have a friend whose partner for their wedding anniversary gave her a piece of jewelry with the date of it was a necklace in the that like cheesy bubble date to wear of the year that they got married. And she was like, no. Like what? Like you spent, and it's a really big anniversary, like you spent all this time thinking about what I might want. And it was just like, you know, for us, it would be like the year, like 2000. When were we even married? 2012. It's like a bubble, big bubble necklace saying 2012 that you wear around your neck. She was like, everything about this is wrong. This is all wrong. Oh, like what? Do you not even know who I am? We've been together for so many years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, you got married in 2013. Just
did
so
I?
You know.
Oh my god. Yeah, you're right.
I got married in 2012, and then and then you got married in 2013.
I know I was pregnant, so it had to be the year before Bodhi was born. Right,
but Wyatt was 4 months old because we came to the wedding. Yeah, and I had to get his passport in time. That was my stressor, as I was trying to get his passport before we were to leave to go to your wedding.
To the wedding, which, by the way, was right before Christmas. Mexico.
Which was right before Christmas.
21st of December.
Was the best. It was so much fun. Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much for sending in all of these amazing holiday fails and for joining us for this fun little holiday episode. I feel like I talked a lot about being sick.
I know. We talked about all sorts of things. But it's fun. I like just having some banter.
Yeah, same.
Nice. Banter back and forth about all the things.
I hope you guys have the most beautiful holiday, whether you're in warm weather with the Bahamian Santa or if you're in a snowy climate or somewhere in between. I hope your holidays are beautiful and bright. And thank you guys so much for listening to us. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, you can subscribe. Just click that little plus sign or check mark or whatever it is. It would mean so much to us. Rate, review. And you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Daisy. Thanks so much.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.